As many of you know me, I like a good laugh once in a while. And with Ladies' Night coming up, this will give you something to talk about. Hopefully I don't offend you at all, but it's funny. My wife gave me the okay, so blame her. So, I'm going to give you a little joke here. One Sunday morning, the congregation was coming in to be seated, just like we're doing now. Worship was finished. And all of a sudden, Satan appeared behind the pulpit. Everyone kind of was like, oh, this is Halloween. This is kind of freaky. He's actually showing up. This is kind of scary. And so everyone just freaks out. Their hair stands up. They're trampling each other, plowing out of the doors, except for one person. He's sitting right in the front row, almost completely oblivious to the fact that here is evil incarnate staring at him right in the face. Satan's kind of a little confused about this, and so he comes up to the man and says, do you know who I am? I'm Satan. Look at me, I have horns. And the guy's like, yep, I know who you are. And he's like, well, aren't you afraid of me? I'm evil. I'm the deceitful one. And the guy's like, nope, not at all. And Satan, a little frustrated at this point, says, well, why are you not afraid of me at all? The guy looks up plainly and says, well, I've been married to your sister for 25 years. Whoops. Or you could put brother in there, but people would not quite understand that, so. You can't touch me, okay? So when I leave, I'm out of here. All right, well, now that I have your attention, don't tell Pastor Alex that one. Today is Halloween. It's a well-known U.S. holiday. And if you grew up here, you probably celebrated it once or twice as a child. And, you know, it's a time for people to dress up. They get a little crazy, and they don't act like themselves for at least just an evening. Now, it probably doesn't mean what it used to us today, but it's a good excuse for some people to escape the realities of life. And they do this by putting on costumes, you know, weird masks. And they do this knowing at the end of the day, at the end of the night, the mask, the costume, it's going to come off and life will carry on as usual. But can you imagine knowing somebody who never took off their costume? You know, they put it on Halloween, but they come to work the next day dressed like Bill Clinton or whoever. You would probably look at them and think, that person's crazy. They're a little downright weird in the head. I mean, can you imagine if I put on a mask and never took it off? I mean, none of you would see this again. And that's a little troubling. You would be sad. So, you know, where am I going with this? Yes, it's Halloween. We choose not to celebrate that because of its origins. But where am I going with this? Well, if you have your Bibles,
which you should,
let's turn to Matthew 11. 29. Actually, we're going to do 28 through 30. So Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Everybody there? All right. Then Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke fits perfectly, and the burden I give you is light. So, where am I going with this? What do Jesus' words have to deal with what I just said about Halloween? Well, we are to put on Christ. We are to put on the yoke that he's given us. We are to live as Christ lived and do as Christ did. But what kind of yoke is he referring to? Now, how many of you know what a yoke is? No. So, a yoke is not in the egg. It is... is it? Oh, yes, it is. But the yoke back then was this collar-like device that attached two oxen together, and together they would accomplish certain tasks like plowing the field. So this yoke is this thing you put on to get something done. And so was this what Jesus was referring to, is that we were supposed to become slaves to him? No, not necessarily, because he says it's easy, it's light. It's something where I will help you. You're on one end of this thing, I'm on the other. That's what Jesus is talking about. And so, how does that make you feel? when you heard this the first time, even now, you know, do you look at Jesus' words? You know, come follow me, take up this burden. Who likes to hear the word burden very often? And one person, wow. And follow me, he says. It just, sometimes it can seem a little troubling to hear that. You know, it almost sounds a little disturbing. It doesn't leave you feeling that well, because what does he mean by this? We sometimes call putting on the yoke, like we hear referred to today as the cost of discipleship. You know, it's something, this cost of discipleship, this burden, it's emphasized greatly in Christianity today, you know, but usually in a negative way. I mean, who likes the words cost and discipleship? I just want to have fun, right? This isn't something that sounds good for me. It's something where it's probably going to disrupt my order of life. But this cannot be left to stand as the whole truth of Christianity. There's a flip side. There's also the cost of non-discipleship as well. Those who refuse the invitation of this light and easy burden. Now, a famous philosopher said, to admire Jesus is a lot easier than to follow Jesus. And the guy's name is Soren Kierkegaard, if you do any reading of philosophy. But he said to be an admirer of Jesus, to look at what he did, is a lot easier than to actually do it, to actually follow him. And so to depart from this life of actually following Jesus, it's only opening yourselves up, ourselves up, to a life similar to a never-ending soap opera. And speaking of soap operas, I don't usually watch that kind of stuff, all right? That's what the girls are going to talk about on November 15th. But I was sitting down one day, you know, my wife and I are just chillaxing, and I noticed Gossip Girl's on over there, and I was just like, oh, that's weird. What is that? What did they do? Okay, what? And so I get hooked, you know, my eyes, you know, because each and every second there's drama. Each and every moment, one person's life is changed for the worst. And everyone around them is changed for the worst because of their situation. Then it just, this cycle of drama is what life is like without Christ. Just watch Gossip Girl. I don't watch it anymore. The season is over. I know. I'm just being honest with you. You all do it too. Days of Our Lives. All right. Now, this light burden, we have to remember. And I'll get into telling you what it looks like day to day. But this light burden is small in comparison to the burden people have to carry without God's help. That's the entire weight of the world on one person's shoulders. And God is saying, I'm going to put this yoke on you to help you, not to make you do all the work. So it seems, to Jesus anyway, just as it seems to us that it's easy to put on a costume, it's just as easy to follow God. I mean, he uses words like light and easy. I mean, is that even doable? To many people, these words are just bewildering. They're confusing. The idea of what Jesus says sounds attractive. It attracts us because the idea they express is a life of easiness. How many of us would want that? But it's how we approach them that makes them seem unrealistic and troubling. I mean, how many of you, and be honest, thought that when you wanted to give yourself to God, he would probably send you to Timbuktu in the middle of Africa and get eaten alive by mosquitoes? I mean, a lot of us think that following Jesus is going to be not fun. We're going to be put into a place that we don't want to be. We're not going to be able to enjoy life the way we want to enjoy life. And so what happens as a result of that, Christians and non-Christians alike, is that we can tend to window shop Jesus. We go up to the window and we like, oh, that looks attractive. I think I'll try it on. Nope, I'm going. I mean, we look at Jesus through the window from the outside in, and we're like, I admire that person, but it's something that I can't do. You know, Pastor Alex has spent a lot of time in Mark, and we hear a lot about Jesus and the great things he did. And we have to remember that he himself was a 100% male human being, just like all of us are 100% human beings. And so, as a result of this mentality that a lot of Christians have, we tend to think of Jesus' words as not doable, and probably they don't even apply to us today. They're 2,000 years old. They applied to people who didn't have TVs or PlayStations. They didn't have entertainment, so all they really could do is walk around and get put in prison for being a Christian. And so his teachings are treated as an ideal, something that we know we can better ourselves by aiming for, but we know deep down we would most likely fall extremely short of. I mean, do you guys relate to what I'm saying? Where it's, you know, we really believe in what he says, but deep down the truth is that we feel, I'm just going to fall short of that. That's impossible. So what is the secret to this easy life, this yoke that Christ tells us about? I mean, he knew what he was talking about, right? And there's one thing I think in American Christianity we all fail to understand. We have to understand that the key to this easy life of being in Christ is that salvation is a lifelong process, day in, day out. That is salvation. It is not a single moment that happens in our lives, and then we can carry on like normal. So to me, one of the greatest heresies in Christian or American Christianity today is thinking that salvation is a single saving moment and something that doesn't really affect the day ins and day outs of our life. So my question is, why did we start to look at salvation as the beginning of a religious life instead of a moment that started a day in and day out receiving of life from God? It's just the further it seems that we get removed from when Jesus actually walked the earth, we're encouraged to remove the essence of our faith from our daily lives. And we relocate that and place the essence of our faith in certain places, events, and states of mind. And so we hear things a lot today like, well, I want to learn how to bring Christ into the workplace. Or I should bring Christ into the home. I should bring Christ wherever I go, to the bathroom. I should bring Christ to sleep. So let me ask you this. I mean, before I even ask, how many of us, though, have said that? I want to learn how to bring Christ into the workplace. I want to learn how to be more Christ-like. But doesn't this prove the deadly assumption that Christ is always left in the church? Doesn't that prove the point that even by us saying these things, we acknowledge the fact we leave him on the shelf and take him down when we have to? So this has led to a lot of bad theology that's accepted today, and it all centers around salvation. And this easy yoke, Christ is talking about salvation. Work with me, he says. So having the opportunity to experience God day in and day out is why we were created in the first place. But we forget that. That's an exciting thing. Yes, Christ uses words like burden and light and yoke. I mean, who talks like that anymore? I don't. People wouldn't know what I was saying. But it's something that Christ is offering us, a daily experiencing of him, of God. And so, wanting to give God our time and our energies and fellowship with one another, prayer, you know, talking with God, it's the best thing out there for you. And Christ knew what he was talking about. And so, just like Halloween, when people put on these outfits, we are to put on Christ to become something new. We're not supposed to take him off at the end of the night and become our old sinful selves again. We have to remember salvation is a lifelong process. And here's the funny thing, and I've experienced this, is that when you start to follow what Jesus says, you know, the light burden, the easy yoke, you know, it actually becomes light and easy. That's crazy. That's weird. It actually becomes light and easy, just like Jesus said. But so many of us leave Christianity untouched, untried, because we're afraid of the ramifications of our decisions. Fear of uncertainty. But God tells us already what to expect. He says, light and easy, you will find rest. But so many of us are unrestful when thinking about it, that we don't even try it. You know, I'd rather be miserable, eat cheeseburgers, you know, get fat, and I'll just look at Jesus through the window. Missing out. There's peace and rest to be found. You know, every time we turn on the news, distress. You know, I just read that there's some explosives with planes again in the U.S. I mean, every turn, every channel, every webpage, something bad. And what are we doing about it? Do we just come to church, we put on our, you know, our smiles, we get renewed? And I do believe church here, you know, the Holy Spirit is here. He does change our lives. I'm not talking bad about church. I'm just saying, what do we do with that? A lot of times, when we walk in the door, we put on the yoke, then we take it off when we leave. I mean, if you did that with the old way the yoke was used with oxen, nothing would ever get done. You have a couple stupid cows sitting in the field wondering what the heck's going on. You know, that's not how things are done. And so Jesus says, put on the yoke. My burden is easy. It's light. You will enjoy it, just like people enjoy dressing up for Halloween. I was driving last night with my wife, and I saw this girl dressed like the Joker standing outside of Johnny Carino's. I had to do a double take, and I'm just like, they enjoy that. You know, people enjoy that. We should enjoy it just the same, but the way it was meant to be, you know, with Christ. I heard a saying the other day that said, blessed are those who thirst and hunger, for they're sticking to their diets. Okay? Blessed are those who thirst and hunger, for they're sticking to their diets. That doesn't sound like a fun diet. But when you enter into a relationship with God and you continue to want more and more of Him, you're sticking to your diet. It's funny. All right. Now, I myself have realized that salvation wasn't just one moment. I mean, I remember when I really experienced the Holy Spirit, God, for the first time. It just blew my socks off. And it did start a process, but I have to keep that process going. I have to spend time with God every single day. There's truth behind that. It's not a checklist of chores to do. There is truth behind that. That, you know, a lot of times we look at Jesus' words and we're like, how does this apply? What does this look like in the 21st century today when the world isn't getting any better and there's so many more distractions, it seems like? It starts with what some people call spiritual discipline. Now, I'm not going to use that term a lot because that also sounds kind of like, no, I'll be here next Sunday. Goodbye. It's something that's day in and day out, training yourself. Jesus himself, like I said, was 100% human. He put this yoke on every day. Jesus himself had to prepare his spirit to go up against the world when he started his ministry. And even before his ministry, I'm sure Jesus was tempted. Of course he was. We're tempted all the time. Now, the statement that I heard that I'm going to say next is so true. It's scary. And it's something that got me thinking when I first heard it. good intentions pave the way to hell. Okay? Good intentions pave the way to hell. If you never do something right here, right now, with what Jesus has given us, you know, you might have good intentions, but it's not going anywhere. Now, I'm not trying to scare you, because we're all here for a reason. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to you right now as a reminder that, yes, God is saying, I've shown myself to you, but what are you going to do with it? I mean, Pastor Alex used the example once that if the Apostle Paul, on the road to Damascus, when he was on his way to kill Christianity, became a Christian, what would we think of him if he just kept on going? He's like, I'm a Christian now. And then he just killed the Christian he talked to. Hey, I was saved. You're dead. It's absurd. He was changed permanently. And every single day, day in and day out, he sought the will of God. That is salvation. I mean, that is just weird looking in your mind when you think of Paul. So it's like Paul never changing. Christianity would never be anywhere if it wasn't for that man, Paul. Now, excuses and more important things to do come up. We just have to work on setting aside time for God, for Jesus every day. This is the yoke he was talking about. And we have to overcome the assumption that Jesus' words were not really for me. We have to understand that they are exactly for me. They are exactly for someone like me. I look at the things he says, don't do, become this. And I'm like, that's me. Yes, Jesus was walking the earth 2,000 years ago, but he is the Word. He was there before the beginning of time. And so his words are true for every single generation. And they can be applied to our lives here in the 21st century. You know, I work in a bank. Most of you know my opinion about this. But I'm not going to get into that. I am more or less a loan officer. And I deal with customers day in and day out over the phone at the phone bank. And they call me and they want something from me. And I hear their stories, their financial brokenness, and I have compassion for those people. I really do want to help them. And I have a solution for them. And I oftentimes find the right solution for every customer. And more often than not, they're declined for the solution because of their poor choices in their financial history. And it got me thinking that, look at how all of us spend moments, hours of every day going over our finances, making sure we're good, so that down the line, if we want a loan or something of that nature, we can actually get it. It's true with our walk with God. It's even more important by far than a loan or our finances. You see, if we are admirers of Jesus and not followers, if we're not living out our salvation every day and we ask God for something, we'll probably be declined because we haven't put time and effort into understanding God and being in a relationship with God. God wants to help us. He's got the solution. But if we just abuse that system, we'll be declined. And a lot of times people who are declined get really PO'd. You know, where's God now? Why didn't he help me? Well, you moron, you didn't work on your spiritual well-being with God. Sorry, I didn't mean to offend anybody. I get a little carried away. Some people say I tend to Hulk out once in a while. It's the same idea. You know, if we want to be spiritually rich with God, we have to do what Jesus says. Put on this yoke. It's easy. It's light. You'll have fun because you're going to get to know me. But you have to do it every day. And he's not kidding. Not every week, once a week. Not once a month, not twice a year, Easter and Christmas. You will never get to know God that way. So many of us who come here every Sunday, we continue to seek God, but now we need to push it. You know, we need to seek God every day. You know, as I was preparing the sermon, I was like, man, if I only seeked God like this every day. And there's so much truth to be found. There is rest, there's confidence, because you know you belong to the Creator of the universe. So for you, for us, what does this look like daily? If you're not big on reading, for example, in this world of technology, I have personally the Bible on disc. And if you're not one to read, find another way to get washed every day with God's word, to get renewed every day, on the way to work, on the way home, on the errands. I'm constantly exposed to God's word. And even that brings me closer to God. Give God the time of day in prayer. Many of us think that prayer is a sacrament where we get down on our knees with our dog and we hold our hands together. Dear God, thank you. Amen. And that's it. No. Prayer is a conversation. If you don't even like the word prayer because it just brings up confusion, have a conversation with God. He's listening. This is the easy yoke that we are to put on. Read his word. Listen to his word. If anything that you get from today, just remember that living out your salvation every day was not meant to produce misery. It wasn't meant to produce a troublesome life. It's the exact opposite. We just have to give over that, get over that idea. It's to show you life to the fullest. A life, you know, pure joy, peace, rest. That's the burden of Christ. I want that burden every single day, if that's the only thing that God is asking. To spend time with him and everything will work out.